Escape the ordinary. Your guide to travel the world before your 30s.
Hello everyone, I'm Dora Mezu from the Első Pesti Egyetemi Radio, first university radio of the city of Pest. You are listening to Escape the Ordinary. In Istanbul, next to Dolmabahçe Palace, there is a cafe. You have to sit at the first table, then you have to turn your back to the people who are sitting around you, so you have a beautiful view over the Bosporus River. That's where the Sardai Association of Mediterranean was founded. In the first episode, you get to know a lot about Sardai, how it was founded, what is the difference if you volunteer there at the summer or the winter period, etc. So today we talk a bit more about its social cause, which is environmental protection. The beach of Kazan is a breeding area for endangered turtles like Caretta Caretta and Calonia Midas. With the help of Seyhan Akdogan, the founder of the Sardai Association, we will discuss the state and difficulties of environmental protection in Turkey and the Sardai organization efforts in saving the local marine wildlife. Hi, Seyhan.
Hi, Dora.
How are you, Seyhan?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm very fine, thank you. So today we talk about the environmental problems your organization fight against. Our main activity with you was to clean the beaches because there's a big sea pollution in Turkey. Do you think it's the biggest environmental problem in your country?
Actually, yes. I think it is one of the biggest problem in our country, especially in our area, while we are dealing with protection of the sea turtles. And environmental pollution is also the plastic pollution, sea pollution, like factories, air pollution. They are all together. So in the industrial century, let's say, we cannot deny there will be industry and the pollution as well. But our target is to minimize all the pollutions that will be harmful for any creatures in the world, not only human, but also animals and plants, any type of plants like flowers or other stuff. So we need to take care about everything.
How can we do that?
How can we do that? As an impact of local people, NGOs, conscious people, let's say, we need to make especially the factories to use their filters, especially to make it minimum level of pollution. And conscious people, like as a plastic or other stuff, we shouldn't throw the garbage around us. We should take care of, about our planet. Of course, this is very cliche now, like do not use the one-use plastic, like single-use plastic. But it is making our life, like most of the unconscious people's life, very easy. So that is why they cannot even ignore it. Like while you are going to a coffee shop and asking for a takeaway coffee, like they have to give you with plastic or a kind of something with plastic with cartoon paper. But you can hear this type of recommendation everywhere. But the matter is not to tell it, to apply it in our own life. Because like everybody says, okay, do not use single use plastic. Okay, how? Nobody says how. But there are many ways also at the same time. The thing is, do you want to care or you just want to care about your own life?
When I was doing your project, one of our activities was to clean the beaches in a daily basis because of the sea pollution. And I remember that you once showed me a cart with from how many countries the trash comes from. Can you tell some of these countries? Because the trash not only comes from Turkey, but from all around the world.
Yes, of course, especially nowadays, just after you finish your project, we receive much more plastic on our beach.
Oh, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like unfortunately, because this is a kind of podcast, so I cannot show you, like I can show you, but your listeners cannot see it. We have seen a lot of plastics that we have never seen before on our Kazanlı beach, because as we heard, it is unofficial information. We are importing some plastics from Europe, and it is now on our beaches, in our nature. They are trying to recycle them, but we cannot recycle that much amount of plastic.
Yeah, and I remember One of our main problem was that when we were cleaning the beach, there were lots of microplastic, and it was very hard for us to grab those because, you know, the big plastic, it was hard to put it in the bags, but with the microplastic, it was super hard, and I'm sure that we get very little percent of it out of the sand.
Yes, this is also unfortunately true, but the plastic that we receive on our beach, on the sea turtle breeding areas, the Mediterranean old currency are going to somewhere. The majority of the currency is going to some part of the beaches, and our Kazanlı beach is one of them. No matter if Turkish people are conscious about this, it doesn't matter. It is a matter of all the Mediterranean countries. Plus, any ships passing by Turkish seashore, it is also another problem. With the currency, with all other impacts, we are receiving a lot of garbage on our beach. Like, as I said in the 3 minutes ago, we are collecting this garbage nearly every turtle season before it begins. We were making like shining beach, clean and shining. But at the moment, we couldn't do it. And the turtle season just started 10 days ago. The amount of garbage, whole amount of plastic garbage. We just organized a big event nearly with 400 people on the beach. And we even couldn't clean 100 meters square of the beach.
The listeners can imagine, like, we were, even my group was cleaning the beach on a daily basis. And it was, I remember once I went through it very deeply, and, you know, we cleaned the Nara super clean, and 2 days later it was full of garbage again. So it felt like a bit always pushing, but never clean it.
Yeah, unfortunately, there is another scientific knowledge, information about this. The garbage that you see on the beach is only the 10% of the garbage in the sea. So this is another incredible and unbelievable information, that the amount of garbage we see is only 10%.
Yeah, and I think it really shows. I remember that once there was a big rain, and, you know, after it, there was a lot of trash on the beaches, but then, you know, the seas come more into the beach, into the shores. And I remember that we had some days when we couldn't clean anything because all the trash was in the sea, so we had to wait when it comes out again and we can clean it again.
Yes, when the sea level raised, they grab everything back inside. But also when there is a storm, the sea is vomiting. And nowadays, I am also speaking about this topic. Most of the people do not care about it, but the fishes that we are eating are going to be full of plastic. Actually, we are eating plastic now from the sea. So people should really, really, really care about it.
Also, in your place, I think it's even more special because, as you said, there are turtles. In Kazanlı, there are Caretta caretta and Chelonia mides, and they are endangered species. You told me that they always come to the same place to put down their eggs. Do you think if, you know, we trash these beaches so much that they won't be able to lay down their eggs, will they choose a different beach?
This is one of the biggest problems. We call it human-based problems. Human-based problems are, one of them is like a lot of plastics, the garbage, the pollution. Other things are artificial lights are another problem. And on the other hand, there is the unconscious constructions, let's say. Like people construct a lot of buildings on the beaches, especially hotels or other stuff. So they destroy the beach. The turtles cannot find a place for laying their eggs. As you asked, if they cannot find the beach, will they be able to put their eggs? Actually, yes, but it will take time because before the beach is destroyed, they will always come there. Till they find a new place, at least they will lose like some years. And some years means losing many, like thousands of eggs. So this will mean like losing a lot of eggs and the percentage of alive turtles.
Does that mean that in these years they don't lay any eggs, or you mean like they lay eggs, they just basically die because they put it in a wrong place?
They come to the beach. If they cannot find a place to lay their eggs, they leave the eggs into the sea. So there is no way of possibility of leaving for the eggs. So they have to leave it somewhere. If they cannot find the place, the proper and empty place that they used to come, so they will leave the eggs into the sea.
usually how do these turtles lay their eggs? Because when I was in your project, it was off season. We were preparing for the season, so I never saw an actual nest of the turtles. Can you describe it?
Unfortunately, it was not your time. You couldn't see the turtles as it just started, like, as I said, 10 days ago, the turtles. So we started our night activities. So our current volunteers are witnessing this, and it is amazing for them. Or still, it is amazing for me because they are incredible creatures. The way of digging their nest, the way of laying their eggs, and the way of closing the nest is another mystery for me. It takes at least like 2 hours for a mama turtle to lay the eggs because they come out, they check the softness of the sand, they check the temperature of the sand, then they dig it, they make the nest first with their back flippers, then they leave the eggs. While they are leaving the eggs, because it takes long time, they start to cry. There are two efforts of why they are crying. One approach is for a romantic approach. They are leaving their babies and they will never check them. They cannot protect them. So they are crying for this, but it's the, as I said, romantic one. The scientific one, because they are out of the sea for long hours, they need to protect their body. And because of the dehydration of their body and the sand in their eyes, they need to cry to keep out the sand out from their eyes. And they have to balance the dehydration of the body.
In some of our first day, you told us that when it's turtle season, the volunteers have some specific signs. How can they find these nests? What are these signs?
The signs are the way of walking of the turtles. We do not give a lot of like scientific information. So we need basic daily information that we can protect the turtles. Any volunteer, there is no obligation to be a biologist or environmental engineer or other stuff. So we give very basic ones. If you walk on the beach, if you see one trace coming or going back from the sea to the shore, it means there is a turtle on the beach, which is at the moment laying there. Where if there is another like double trace next to it, which means the turtle has already done, as you can never know about it, if they leave the eggs or they just check the sand and return back. So in that case, we need to check if there is a nest or not.
And how can we check this?
You need to live for it, but the professional biologist check it by a, we call it magical stick. So if you see a sand, soft sand with the traces, you just put a stick in it. If you see a softness area, but as I said, you need to be an expert about it. Otherwise, you can kill all the eggs. If you are not expert, you shouldn't do this. Or as we are doing, we never use the stick because we have seen the professors are using that stick especially. So we mostly we monitor them if there is a nest or not. Or we just check with our hands if the sand is soft or not. We don't put stick digger, like deeper than our fingers. So you can understand easily after a while.
You showed us some pictures after the little turtles was born. And you told us the stories of the volunteers go in lines with lights and always shouting, stay in the line, stay in the line.
Yeah,
and
yes.
I wanted to ask that, do you use these lights to find the little turtles trapped in the trash? Or do you use these lights to help the baby turtles to go to the sea? Because I remember we talked about that, you know, the lights of Kazan Lut can be distracting to some turtles. So I guess maybe some flashlight can help them go towards the sea instead of the city.
Yes, lights is one of the attraction for the baby turtles. We use the lights in the baby's turtle season. We mostly do not use the lights in the mama turtles because mama turtles can be scared from the lights so they can return back to the sea without laying their eggs. That is why mama turtle season, we just use the lights to scare the dog. Especially in the baby season, we just started to build fences on the beach. And with the help of that fences, we do not let the baby turtles to go far from the sea. So in that case, it will be easy for us to find the baby turtles. So the lights help us to check just the down part of the fences, if there is a turtle or not, if they lost their way or they are going directly to the sea. The matter is this, if they are going directly to the sea, we do not do anything because this is naturally they are going to the sea. But if they lose their way and go opposite direction, in that case, we cannot help them with that light because there will be hundreds of them. That's why we pick them again with the help of some experts. There need to be experts to pick the turtles. Then we release them to the sea by the help of the lights.
And what happens if this little turtle is trapped in some trash?
That is our main target, not to leave any trash on the beach.
Yes, especially. Of course. But I meant but you said that is, today it's even more trash.
Yeah, if there is, still we take the big trashes, especially which can be the risk for the baby turtles, then we directly take them out. But the amount of plastic that I was talking is microplastic. So that is why I was telling it was a huge amount of plastic. If they are trapped in the plastic, doesn't matter. We will find them again. Our first mission is not to leave any big garbage to be obstacle for a baby turtle. But if there is still, we find them and we release them. We save them from the garbage as well.
What do you think? How many of these endangered species die because of the plastic?
Oh, science. This is a scientific answer. This needs to be, but I don't have any idea about it, about the world, but a lot. I can say a lot because now plastic is also killing humans, not only animals. So I am calling creature, any living creature. So we, as a human, we are included in.
Also, you told us that saving these turtles is not only important because they are endangered, but also because they are very good and important for the ecosystem. How do they help the ecosystem?
Yes, they are important. First of all, they are in the food chain, especially when they are baby. In the ecosystem, the crabs are going to eat the babies. The seagulls are going to eat the babies. The fishes in the sea, they are going to eat the babies. So this is in the ecosystem. But what we are fighting for, we are fighting for animals which are not in the food chain of the turtle, especially, who are they? The street dog or cats or, let's say, foxes, which have no way to live on the beach. So these are, we are trying to stop this type of animals. Others, like in the ecosystem one, we don't want to stop them because we don't want to change the ecosystem as well. So when they are grown, the sea turtles, if it is Chelonia midas. It is in the also food chain, but it is in the food chain of algae in the sea. So they are called gardener of the sea at the same time. So they eat especially the dead grasses. So they produce enough oxygen for the sea, for other animals. If we speak about the caretta carettas, they are in the other food chain. When they are baby, crabs are eating them. When they are adult, they are eating the crabs. And they are also balancing the jellyfish number. So caretta carettas can also eat the jellyfish. They can also eat the fishes, which means they are also in the risk of fishing nets because they are eating fishes. So this is about the food chain. So we don't stop any ecosystem. We just want to make the ecosystem to work, actually.
You told us about that factory close to Kazanlu. I don't remember what exactly, but I remember that they pour something into the water and the sea there becomes very warm. So some turtle don't go away and stay there every season because it's like a hot tub for them. Why is it a problem that they don't travel and they stay at the same place?
All the creatures, even before the humans settled down, they were traveling to the hot places, right?
Yes.
For the animals, you can understand this from the birds better because when you see the birds are in migration, so they are going to the hot places then to cold place. It is same for the sea turtles. The sea turtles in the summer come to the Kazanlı beach, leave their eggs, do their feeding, mating, and going back when it is coming to October, they go to the hotter place like African part or other stuff. But when there is a change in the water temperature, so they will not feel naturally to migrate to another place. So that factory, they have a cooling system of their, let's say, ovens, but whatever they produce. So with their cooling system, the water returns back to the sea with like 100 or more than 100 degrees. So the sea temperature go upper and upper. And sea turtles do not feel it naturally to go another place. This is the reason of not migration.
Once with my volunteer group, we went there in our free time because our project was of turtle season and we, you know, wanted to see some turtles. So we walked there and even the color of the sea was different. It was a very light blue because of the water and it had a mist from the, you know, that tube from where the factory water was poured into the sea. And it was very smelly and we were amazed because, you know, we could see like a little lake in the sea with that light blue strange water and a bit like 5 or 10 meters away from it, there were super huge turtles all around it.
Yes.
We tried, you know, to find the difference between the Calonia midas and Caratta caratta, but that was too far away to be able to tell it.
You need to see them closer.
Because the listeners don't know that you can find the difference between Caratta caratta and Calonia midas by their shell and how their head is.
Yeah, especially the color is different. When they are in the sea, the color seems very same, but actually they are totally different. And from the size of their head, you can see the difference better because Calonia midas has a small head like a snake, but Caratta caratta has another name also. It means like logger head, which means giant head, like big head. So, and their colors like Caratta carattas are brownish and yellowish. Calonia midas is, it is also called green turtle. So that's why they are green blackish turtles. So actually, it is very easy to differentiate.
You showed us that there's even a difference between how they walk. So if someone take a close look on the beaches, they can see from the trace of their walking that which one was there.
Yeah, so if it is like a Calonia midas, they are walking like a symmetric, which means like they are walking at the same time with their front foot. If it is like Caratta caratta, they are walking like asymmetric. So again, it is a kind of scientific information. It is important for especially biologists to take some statistics. That's why they did this type of studies, scientific research about it.
So we talked a lot about these endangered animals and the sea pollution, but do you think Turkish people are aware of these problems?
Not all of them, but that is our one of biggest target to create the awareness. Our motto, which means be aware and create awareness. So we are trying to raise the awareness among the local people. But I always call the problem like this, like our country is a developing country and developing countries has more problem than environment or conscious people about environment or endangered species. So people need to first run their life for their own, for their family, for their future at the same time. So that's why we are trying to give this knowledge and information and consciousness to the new generation, especially. No matter how or what happens in our life, it is another thing to respect the nature and to respect the endangered species, especially, or any other creatures, are another thing. So these are two different things. So this is our first intention to raise the awareness.
Our group made some workshops for the children, especially because of these things. And also because, unfortunately, even where we live, the locals were littering so much. So we needed to create some projects. But your organization works for a very long time now. We talk about years. Do you think you made an impact with these groups of volunteers? Do you see a difference in the new generation?
I cannot say no, because if I say no after 10 years, there will be like demotivating reasons. But with the new generation, especially, not only new generation, I think we also affect some adults as well. And we raised awareness. Even some of my colleagues has no idea there was a breeding beach for sea turtles in Mersin, in Kazanlı. So this is something else. Like we, at least the local people now know Kazanlı is a place for endangered species of 2 species of sea turtles for a breeding and nesting area. So this is one level. Another level, new generation, especially parents and adult people are the role model of the kids. So parents and the adult people, if we change their mood or the way of their behaviors to the nature, if we change them in 10%, that will be very good percentage, because most of their kids are taking them as a role model. But we have another level about the kids. Now kids know what is correct and what is not. It is not matter if they are doing it or not when they are kids, but when they know what is really right, what is not right, when they are going to be the adults of the future, they will have their own conscience about this behavior. So this is our target, this is our aim, to put this idea into their subconscious, so in their normal daily life, they can apply this type of information automatically, like naturally they can apply this knowledge. And in this moment, I can also tell to our listeners, everybody knows or everybody can use the word education in their daily life. But just for a second, I want to ask this question, then I'm going to answer this question. What is the dictionary meaning of education? So this is the question. How many of us, how many of the people exactly thought about the exact meaning of education? So I will stop 1 second. Then while our listeners are thinking about what is education in dictionary meaning, maybe some of you have found the dictionary meaning, or maybe you have thought about it, you just pop up with the idea of what is the description of it. But I can tell you only one sentence. Education is creating positive change in human behavior. So this is our aim, to create the positive change in human behavior. And what you need for this? Time and patience. So with patience and time, we can create the positive change in human behavior. So this is our organization, another motto. That's why we have the patience. That's why we are waiting for like the future. Maybe we will see, maybe we will not, but at least we know what we are fighting.
Are there many organizations like yours in Turkey that are fighting against the same cause?
You mean the turtles or environment?
Both.
For turtles only, I know like 2 big organizations. But for environment, of course, there are many organizations fighting for to protect the environment, to raise the conscience, to plant trees, to protect the forest, to protect environment, to stop the pollution. But as I said, I can also again repeat it. If the listeners from developed countries, if they are from developed countries, they will think, what are you talking about? But you need to be in a developing country to understand the unlimited or reasons that cannot finish. But you still need to fight for it, because this world needs more amount of good people. And I divide the people in the world into 2 only, good people and bad people. That's all. Just choose your part.
If there are any environmental problems all around the world, why did you choose to really specify on the turtles and sea pollution?
Because it is natural. I was born in Kazan. And while I was growing up, raising up, it was in front of me without any knowledge. Nobody could give me any information about this, even my parents. They even didn't have any clue or any idea about, okay, they are sea turtles, but what are they? What is the importance of them? Or if they are endangered or not. So I grew up in this environment. And we have a saying, and it is very good. If everybody cleans in front of their home, all the streets will be clean. So where I was born, it was my maybe natural mission to be here. And I chose this especially. And it is my hometown.
It's very nice of you.
Thank you.
So if we are living in Turkey, do we have a possibility to live like, you know, a zero waste, eco-friendly lifestyle? Or is that that common?
It is newly grabbed idea from the local people. It is getting wider. It is not impossible. And I don't know if it can be advertisement or not, but I can say impossible is nothing. You can have zero waste life, or you can deny using single-use plastics, but you can. I mean, you just need to choose it, like to select it, to be in that situation and to live in that way.
Do you think the government support these programs? I mean, are there any sanctions for, you know, environmental protection?
Yes, of course. In developing countries, you can support, you can do a lot of sanctions, you can give a lot of information or session or seminars about this. Still, you need some other impact on local people and on local community to make it wider in local community. Otherwise, it will be just seminars and conferences that you are giving and you are supporting, but will never be enough. And as a personally, I am a teacher in the system. So in the state school system from the government, there are really very important strategies for zero waste, supporting environmental protection a lot. But again, we return back to the same point. In developing countries, there are something more important than these in our daily life. One day we will come over with
it. I hope one day all the world will come over with it.
Yeah, hopefully. In Turkish, we say inshallah.
And what does it mean?
Hopefully.
Then inshallah.
Yes.
What do you suggest to anyone who listened to this podcast? What should they do to help the environment in their own life? And how can they help maybe even Turkey, because the waste comes from everywhere in the world?
Yes, of course. Everybody can be helpful. Anybody can do something for this world, because this is our world. We are not going to have another world. So there was an Indian proverb. It says, like, we didn't inherit this world from our ancestors. Actually, we just borrowed this world from our grandson. So if we have the responsibility, if we feel the responsibility to leave a better world to the next generation, we just need to do small things personally. And when you do something small things personally, it will naturally come back to us, the clean world and no pollution. But still, I can not be against industry, because the world needs this because of the population or other stuff. Of course, I am not also supporting the industry. It doesn't mean I am supporting the industry. But we have to learn how to live with it, with industry, with the nature, with natural lifestyle. And I always say this about this topic. If you want to live in a better condition, and if you just blame the nowadays world, you need to give the solution. If you don't give the solution, there is no way, or there is no benefit of speaking about the problems only. So we need to find the solutions. And the solutions, first, it comes from the, everybody says single-use plastics, or we shouldn't use plastic. But we need to give this world a material which can be replaced with a plastic. Then that material shouldn't give any harm to the nature. Otherwise, nobody will stop using plastic. Personally, you can stop using plastic, but the industry will never stop. This is the first I can say. Another thing, of course, personally, we can deny using single-use plastic, or we can do something good for the nature, but we need to be more concrete. We need to raise the awareness among us. It is not only about you. You have family, so first start from your family, then from your environment, from your friends, from your daily life. Then you can change the industry, because some of us will be on the top of that industrial areas, because they are also human. They are not machine. So somebody should think about this. But when it is like a big frame, when we speak from the bottom, our voice don't go to the top. But if someone from the top has this idea, it will change something else. But we shouldn't stop fighting for it at the same time. As I said, the world needs more good people. There is another saying about this: the world is not a bad place because there are more bad people than good people. The world is a bad place because the good people are always preferring to be in silence. So raise our voice. When you raise the good people, raise their voice, it will reach more people. Then that goodness will be infection. Hopefully, goodness will be the infection.
Well, hopefully this episode will infect some goodness in the world too.
One is enough for us.
So thank you very much for this amazing episode. I think everyone could learn a lot from you.
Thank you very much too.
And thanks for listening. If you want to jump on your first European Solidarity Course project, keep listening to the podcast, because in our next episode, we will tell you what kind of possibilities you can have and how to apply. You listen to Escape the Ordinary. I was Dora Mezu. See you next time. created by Lila Duramezu, brought to you by Első Pesti Egyetemi Radio, First University Radio of the City of Pest, 2022.